All right, so we are going to, our first scripture we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Amen. And so when you're there, say amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So let's pray. So Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we just come to just to say thank you. Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faith. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened so that we can know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the inheritance of the saints in light. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you have already saved us by your grace. And we thank you, Lord, because you saved us by your grace. Now you have freely given unto us all things. And so, Father, as we assemble together and praise and worship, honoring you, then we come with our ears open and our hearts open so that we can receive what you're saying to us, because we want to live the best grace life. And the best life is in grace, because we're not under law, but we're under grace. And that's what you've called us to live, the grace life. So for that, we just thank you. We give you praise. Lord, be glorified in our midst. Let the hearts of the people receive your word today. So it's through your blood. Amen. Amen. All right. So today, you can be seated. So today, the message is coming. Pastor Crump had ministered Paul Preach Christ. And the message was, how is a man made right with God? Or how is a man justified? And as he ministered that word, he said that there were three righteousness that the word of God described. And that's what we're going to minister today. So some of the times I'm going to ask you to look at the NLT translation. And then also, under the three righteousness, you probably will see all of them through all of the teachings, all right? All right, so the first righteousness was called the righteousness of the law. Say the righteousness, of the law. And sometimes it was called the law of righteousness. And the Apostle Paul described it like this. He said, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, I want you to remember that. The righteousness of the law said that the man which doeth those things, what are those things that he had to do? It was the commandments. It was his statutes. It was his judgments. Those are the things that you had to do. And that was called the righteousness of the law. Then the next one is called the righteousness of faith. Say the righteousness of faith. And it is called, according to the NLT, the faith way. Now, the righteousness of faith is like in the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. The Bible said therein, Romans 1:17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written that the just shall live by faith. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. The righteousness of the law said the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith says that the just shall live by faith. So there's something happened to the man. He's now called the just. That means God has now justified him. God has now made him righteous. And so guess what? Now he can live by the faith of Christ, or he can live by the faith of the gospel that's ministered unto him. And then the third one is called the gift of righteousness. And you know, as I looked at that, one of the times Pastor said, he said, look for the three things in the word. So the righteousness of the law, we say that was God's goodwill. All right? The righteousness of faith is his acceptable will. And it was acceptable because you had to first accept his son. And when you accept his son, then his son gave his life. Then you go down to the gift of righteousness. That's God's perfect will, because that's the gift of grace. That's how God wants us to live the grace life. The grace life is without the laws. It's without all of the commandments. It's without all of the ceremony, the rituals, all of those things that when you receive or you accepted the righteousness of faith, when you accepted Christ, because Christ has already finished all of that. So now all you're going to do is going to enter into grace. I tell you, grace is better. Amen. Say, grace is better. Grace is better. And so what grace says is that by one man's offense, that one man was Adam, death reigned. How did death reign? By one man's offense or one man's sin. So when Adam sinned, death just reigned over all men. Now so that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It wasn't like, well, you know, God got to forgive me for my sins today. No, it's not about today's sin. As a matter of fact, sin has already been put to an end. But it was about what Adam did. And what he did, it just reigned over all men. Sin and death just reigned. But then when Christ came and he gave his life, death no more now have dominion over you. Sin no longer have dominion over you. You are free in Christ. He has made us free. He made us righteous. We don't have to try to get righteous. We don't have to try to be justified. He already did that through his blood, through his life, through his death on the cross. All right. And then when I didn't finish that. So grace says, therefore, by one man's offense, which was Adam, that death reigned by one. It says much more they, I'm at Romans 5:17, I'm sorry. Romans 5:17 said much more the ones that have been justified, they which receive the abundance of grace. It said you got to receive the abundance of grace. That means when you hear the gospel, guess what? Now you got to receive that abundance of grace. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So guess what? When Christ came, they had to hear him. They had to believe that he was the one that the life was in. But you know what? When he died, now he gave us his life. He gave us his spirit. And now I declare, you can now live your best life. Because not only did you receive that abundance of grace, but you also received the gift of righteousness. You don't have to try to be justified. You don't have to try to be righteous. Because guess what? He already made that. When he gave us his life, his Holy Spirit, that's what it is. So I'm telling you, he wants you to live your best grace life. All right. So now, then the Bible said, so remember I said it's a good, acceptable, and perfect will. So God's perfect will is that we live by the grace. We live by the finished work of Christ. That's what the grace is. It's the finished work of Christ. It's what Christ has done. There's not anything that we have done. There was nothing that we could do. Why? Because we were born in sin. But Christ, he was born of a virgin. He was a child of the Holy Ghost. Only he could be that perfect sacrifice. Only he could forgive us of all sin. Already forgiven. Gave us everlasting righteousness. Eternal redemption. You are forgiven forever. But you know what I messed up? I didn't quite say what I should have said the other day. Eternal redemption. Tell somebody you already been redeemed. He's already given you eternal. If something is eternal, that means it's forever. You got everlasting forgiveness. You don't have to go and do penance and do all the other things that you think that's going to make you right with God. He already sees you as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right. So now let me go ahead on and get into the lesson today. So today I'm really going to teach the first part is the righteousness of the law. Now, one of the things I want to tell you about that, the law was never given to us, the body of Christ. The law of righteousness was only given to the children of Israel. They, when they came out of Egypt and they came down to Mount Zion, God gave the law then to Moses to give to them, to teach them how they're going to live in the land that he was taking them. When they came down to Mount Sinai. So he gave them that law. And when you look at it, so when we go through things, so when you see Exodus and then you see Leviticus, then the first part of Numbers, you're seeing that very first generation. The first ones that came out of Egypt. But then when you get to Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then you see the life in the wilderness, that's the first ones that came out. They died. They died. Why? Because they did not believe God. So when you look and you go down to Numbers chapter, well, at the beginning of the book of Numbers, they're doing the census. They're counting all of the tribes and the families. But then when you get down to Numbers chapter 13, God tell Moses, said, I want you to take one man from every tribe, but he's going to be a ruler in that tribe. And you take him and you're going to send him over as spies to spy out that good land, that land that's flowing with milk and honey. So that's what Moses did. He took 12 men of the tribes, one from each tribe. They were a ruler. They went over. And they were over there spying out the land for 40 days. Say 40 days. So they went to spy out the land and they were there for 40 days. And when they came back, they said, oh, of a surety, that land flows with milk and with honey. But you know what? The city is walled and the people that live there are giants. And in our own size, we're just like grasshoppers. And then all of the people began to mourn. And then the first word always come out of their mouth, would to God we had died when we was in Egypt. Would to God we had died. Why? You brought us over here so that our wives and our children could be a prey. You brought us here so they could be destroyed. Oh, I tell you, God's anger and his wrath rose up. He was so angry. Then know what God said? All of you men from 20 years old and up, you have vexed me so. But guess what? You went and spied out the land for 40 days, but I'm going to send you back into the wilderness for 40 years. You're going to have one day for every year. And you're going to wander around in that wilderness till all of your carcasses fall to the ground. But your children, the one that you say is going to be a prey, those are the ones that I'm going to take into the promised land. But they are going to bear your whoredom because you refuse to believe me. And so after God said all of this, they were like, okay, hey, we can go up. No, first what Joshua and Caleb said, is that, you know what? We can go up. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed. God is with us. We are more than well and able to go up and take the land. Well, I mean, you've already said you didn't believe. So God said, nope. So the next day they had a change of heart. Well, okay, we'll go up. Moses said, now why are you going to still rebel? God's anger is already angry with you. So they try to go up and they get chased off and, you know, some got killed. But then now God tells them, turn around and you're going to go in the wilderness and you're going to be there for 40 years. But then after that, your children are going to be the one. So then when you get to Deuteronomy, that is where Moses is now about 120 years old. He is rehearsing the law that he gave them at Mount Sinai when they first came out of Egypt. Now he's given that law now to their children. And he told them, their children that was under 20 years old, they've been through the wilderness now for 40 years bearing their father's sin. He said, the reason that you're alive now, because as I taught you, you know what? You kept God's word. And now you are alive today. So now you're going to go into that land. I'm telling you, it was awesome. So then the next thing, so let me go to Romans. Now we're going to fast forward to Romans. Now, so remember, God gave that law to the children of Israel. But here in Romans chapter 10, this is the Apostle Paul. And remember, because I'm going to show you that the law was not to be permanent. It was just until Christ come. The ones that was going into the land, they were to be under the law, kind of like a restraint, keep the law so that they could live until Christ come, who would give them life. Only Christ could give them life. Keeping the commandment don't give you life. It may give you a long life. You can live longer, but it don't give you eternal life. Only Christ, who was the seed of God, could do that. So in Romans chapter 10, now remember, it was only supposed to last until Christ come. So in Romans 10, you know Christ has already come. Christ has already given his life. He's already resurrected and he's gone. But guess what? Now the children, the Israel, this has been years and years later, they still trying to do what the law told the ones that was in back in Exodus and Numbers. All right. So this is what Paul said about that. And Romans chapter 10, I'm going to do verse 1 through 5. It says, brethren, this is Paul talking, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Well, I thought Christ came to save them. Yeah, he came. They rejected him. But they still trying to do like the ones that God gave the law of righteousness to. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Now, when he said they got a zeal of God, one of the things that the Apostle Paul did when he had went and he preached to the Gentiles, that was it back in the book of Acts. He had preached to them, and then they had gotten saved. They believed the gospel. God had given them the Holy Spirit, and Paul came back. Then you had the teachers from Judea came and said, these men can't be saved except they keep the law of Moses. God has already saved them and given them his Holy Spirit. No, but see, you still got to keep the law of Moses. So where was he at? He was way back there. He had rejected when Christ came, didn't receive him. Because if you receive Christ, you receive the righteousness of faith. Then you were ready to enter into the grace. Hadn't received it yet. And so when Paul had went into Jerusalem, James the apostle said, you know what he said? There are many people of the Jews that believe. They believe the gospel of Christ, but they very zealous for the law of Moses. You can't have both. Even you cannot have both. If you're trying to be right by the law, you've already fallen from grace. Christ's death don't profit you. You cannot have law and grace. Now you can choose, I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to live by the grace of Christ, or I'm going to try to live by the law. And I'm telling you now, you're not going to live by the law. All right. So Paul said, they got a zeal of God, but it's not according to righteousness. And then he said, they going about to establish their own righteousness, but they have not yet submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And then he said, for Christ, say Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's God's righteousness. That's how God chose to make you righteous. For those that were still under the old covenant, when Christ came, you just had to receive him. Moses had already told him he was going to come. He's going to be just like me. He's going to do the miracles. He's going to speak to God face to face. You're going to know that's him. And you're going to see the prophets all gave him signs. And many of them was looking for Christ. But the ones that still had the mentality, no, we got to keep them commandments. Well, how many know since Paul died, since Christ died, buried, resurrected over 2,000 years, how can you say this? People today are still saying we got to keep them laws. We got to keep them commandments. They're still saying it. We got to keep them commandments. We got to keep them ceremonies. You know, we got to do them ordinance. If we don't do them, we no church. If we don't baptize, we not a church. Y'all a cult over there. If we don't wash feet, y'all a cult because you're not obeying the law. Don't obey the law. I thought Christ finished the law. He fulfilled it, brought in a new covenant. brought in grace. I'm going to tell you, grace is better. All right. Say grace is better. So in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through verse 5, it said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do." So what did they do? They bowed down to their images. They bowed down to their idols. He said, "And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm going to put you into, shall you not do. Shall you not neither walk in their ordinance? You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk therein." Verse 5 said, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them." So remember, this was not to us. Come on, say, this was not to us. This was only to the children that came out of Egypt. It was only to them. And then it was only to them until Christ came. And then when Christ came, they were no longer under the law of sin and death. Why is that so hard for people to understand? So, this is what you got to understand. Whenever you set the law before people, you know what it's going to do? It's going to make them more exceedingly sinful. Because you're not, because you're just going to do the opposite. But if there's no law, there's no transgression. But we're in grace. We're in grace. All we do is walk in the Spirit, walk in love, let our light shine, and live your best life. Your grace life does not mean, hey, I'm single, I got to do something. So me and my girls, me and my boys, we're going to get together and turn it up. But you know what happens when you get together and turn it up? Something comes in and you realize, got to go to church. Why? Got to pray. I did something I shouldn't have done. Oh, why are you trying to do to turn it up? God wants you to be an example of his grace life. You don't have to go turn it up. Just be who Christ is in your life. And when you do that, guess what? You're going to hate the evil. You're not going to even want to partake with that. But you know why we do? Well, see, if I don't go with them and do what they do, they're going to reject me. So what? Let them reject you. They've already rejected Christ. Guess what? But you, God want to get, he's already given you his life and he's given it to you more abundantly. If you go out there and you go back to the world and doing all the things that God brought you and saved you out, he delivered you out of darkness, but you feel that, you know, I'm young, I got to do something. How about coming to church worshiping the Lord? How about hearing the word? How about getting joy in that? And then when you leave, go and live that. So, if they did those things, what would happen? So in Proverbs, what kind of life would they live by then, by the law? Well, Proverbs 3, 1 and Proverbs chapter 3, 1 and 2, okay? It said, "My son, forget not my law." Say, that was to the children of Israel. He said, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Why? "For length of days, long life and peace shall they add unto you." Now, the one thing that he said, it said, "Let your heart keep my commandment." The only way the heart can keep God's word is faith has to be in the heart. Say, faith has to be in the heart to keep God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 4. And, you know, remember this time Moses is 120 years old, so he kind of like, I had it with y'all all these 40 years. Y'all got my hair gray. And I'm not even going to go in the promised land because y'all made me smite that rock in my anger. And so because of that, guess what? I'm not even going to go into the promised land. God is only going to let me look over and see it. Oh, Lord, it's a good land. It look good. But guess what? He's going to use Joshua to take the people in. He said, "You hard-headed, you rebellious, you stiff-necked people." So Moses had a little anger there. So in Deuteronomy 29, 4, he said, "Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive." He didn't give you the eyes to see and ears to hear until this day. In other words, He already know you're going to be disobedient. And then, so I want you to go to Acts chapter 28, verse 23 through 28. My Bible. Did I have my Bible? Acts chapter 28, verse 23 through 28. Okay, I guess I can read it. And when they had a... Thank you. Yeah, this is a heavy book, Pastor. That's a big book. The word heavy up in here. Okay. Okay. So in Acts chapter 28, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to them, verse 23. Acts 28 and verse 20. Mm-mm, that's not it. Let me see. Acts 28. Am I in Acts? No, I'm in 27. Sorry. So in Acts 28 and verse 23, now this is what the apostle said. He said, and when they, he was, you know, preaching them the gospel and he was testifying that Christ was out of the law and out of the prophets. So in verse 23, he said, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, of whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. He was persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and of Moses, and out of the prophets from morning to evening. And the Bible said, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. He said, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, saying, hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the next thing he said, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is now sent to the Gentiles, and guess what? They will hear it. So I want you to know, Paul said, the Gentiles are going to hear this word. You heard it, but you just want to try to do the works of the law. You rejected Christ, so there's nothing left for you, right? All right, you know what Jesus said was coming to them. So the next thing I want to say, Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, the kingdom of God, he was talking to children, he said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and it's going to be given to a nation that's going to bring forth the fruit thereof. You don't want you don't want the gospel. You don't want to receive me. But guess what? I came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You don't want that. But God is going to take it from you because it was to come to you first. You don't want it. So he's going to take it from you and he's going to give it to a nation that's going to bring forth the fruit. And that's the Gentiles. And that's what the Apostle Paul came and he preached the gospel of Christ. Okay, so now I'm going down one more. So I want to show you what they had to do. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 44, verse 45, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. That's for the tape's sake. So in verse 44, Deuteronomy 4, 44 through 45, and then Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. So it said, this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. Now remember, the law consists of the commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment. So verse 45 said, these are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment which Moses spake to the children of Israel after that they had came forth out of Egypt. And Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 1 said, and Moses called all Israel. He didn't say Moses called the church. He didn't say Moses called the body of Christ. He said Moses called all Israel unto him. He said, hear, O Israel, the statutes, the judgments, which I speak into your ear, that you may, number one, learn them. They had to what? Learn them. Then they had to keep them. And then they had to do them. And then that's when Leviticus 5 said, if a man do, he shall live by them. So what does it mean that if the man, to them, if they did the if they learned the commandments, they kept them and they did them, so what kind of life would they have? So they would live by obeying the blessing. They would live in the blessings if they were obedient. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is how they were going to live. Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right. So in Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to start with verse 1. It said, and it shall come to pass that if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do how many of his commandments? All of his commandments, which I command you this day. The Lord thy God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you. They're going to overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed you're going to be in the fields. I think they got a song about that. Blessed you're going to be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. Bless your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks and the sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up, that rise up against you, to be smitten. Therefore, your face shall come out against thee on one way, and they're going to flee what? Seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in your storehouse and in all that you set your hands to, until he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. Somebody said that was to the children of Israel. So verse 10 says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in good, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, and in the land where he sware to give to your fathers to give you. Verse 12 said, and the Lord shall open in you his good treasures, the heavens to give you rain unto your land, and the season, and to bless all the works of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If you hearken to the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day to observe and to do. Say, that was to Israel. So that's what God gave to them if they would keep the commandment. That's the kind of life that they was going to live by. But guess what? Deuteronomy 28, and I'm only going to read one verse. I'm not going through the curses. Because guess what? If they didn't hearken to the voice of God, guess what? All of the curses. Now remember, they had already said, all that the Lord has said will we do. They was famous for saying that. Oh, God said something to Moses. Moses, you just go up there and you talk to God, but everything that God say, we going to do it. Turn right around. Okay, so go down to verse 15, and I'm only going to read one verse. I'm not going to read the curses, right? All right. But it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you, and they shall overtake you. So that's how they were going to live. They were going to live by keeping, by learning, by keeping, and by doing the commandments. Now, so let me say this. There were some that did, the ones that obeyed. And then like Pastor showed us last week, he talked about how Christ, when he died on the cross, he went down into hell and he preached to the spirits that was in prison. That was those that had obeyed God's commandment. Now, you got the ones that didn't, but you got the ones that did. But you know what? The one thing about all of that is that, remember, that law was given to Israel, and it was only until Christ was revealed. Once Christ came, Christ fulfilled all of it. And when he fulfilled all of it, now he said, you are free. I finished it. All you got to do now is just live. Live your best life. Walking in the spirit, walking in the grace of God. Amen. So then the next thing, so that was how they were going to live if they would do the commandments of God. Then in Deuteronomy, this is what God said. He was telling Moses. He said, I'm going to hide my face from them. Deuteronomy 32:20. God said, I will hide my face from them. I see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, in whom is no faith. Say they had no faith. So in Hebrews chapter 4, fast forward, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. For unto us, and he was talking to the Jews, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preach didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, they didn't have faith. All they had was unbelief, and we're going to try to keep all these commandments so we can live, so we can have a long life. So, you know, we don't have to run from our enemies. Our enemies are going to run from us. That was God's way for them. That was good. But then when you get down to the righteousness of faith, that's acceptable. Because number one, you got to accept his son. The Jews had to accept who he was. He was the Christ, the son of the living God. They had to believe on his name. But then when you came down to grace, that's the perfect will of God. Because now you're believing on what he has done. And guess what? Now all you got to do is receive that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And then you can reign in life. And you're not reigning in life because you keep the commandments. You're reigning in life because your Lord already finished the commandments. Glory to God. So then as we move down, then the Bible said, So the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, remember it said it wasn't mixed with faith. So Paul said in Romans 6, 17, he said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed. This word obeyed means believed. You have believed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered to you. And what did he deliver to them? The gospel of Christ. So Paul said, you have believed it. The ones in the wilderness didn't have faith to believe it. They just had to try to do so they could live and their enemies would not destroy them. All right. So the next thing, I'm going to go down, I'm going to fast forward. This is the part I want. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24 and verse 25. So because God had given them the law and the commandments, Deuteronomy 6, 24 said, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. How many of them? All. To fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Verse 26, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So now they saying, well, this is going to be our righteousness because we're just going to keep all his commandments. But we know that they didn't and that they couldn't. You had some that was very zealous and they did. And when they died, Jesus had to come down and then had to preach to them Christ. They did it because they understood Moses said that God was going to send someone that's going to be just like him. So they knew that that wasn't all of it. That God got to have a better plan. He did. But they kept it. And when they died, Jesus went down and he preached to them because he had to go down and preach himself. He preached to them that God has forgiven you. It's not based on your sacrifice. It's not based on your offerings, because the purpose of all of the sin offering was because people sin, and whether they sin ignorantly or whether they sin presumptuously. And that's okay. So remember, it was sin, right? They didn't have faith to believe. So they tried. It was kind of like a human thing, you know. I mean, I got a kid. This is the flesh. We got to do this. So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible said, therefore, by the deeds or the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. They said, if we observe and do all these things, this is going to be our righteousness. But the Apostle Paul, now remember, Paul is not talking to the ones that was back there that just went into the promised land. Paul talking to the ones who saw Christ, rejected him, didn't believe him, wouldn't receive him, but they still want to do the works. So he said, therefore, by the works of the law, you're not going to be justified in God's sight, because only by the law is the knowledge of sin. Say, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are the works of the law, you're under the curse. Because if you don't do all, you did none. That's the way it seemed. That's the way it was. So Galatians 3:10, I didn't finish that. It said, for as many as are the works of the law, they are under the curse. For it is written, curses is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you didn't keep all, it said you were cursed. Because remember, all that the Lord has said, we will do. That's what they said. And then James 2:10 came and said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet you offend in one point, he said, you guilty of all of them. Come on, say, grace is better. The law was not given to us. And I'm telling you, if you're somewhere and somebody tell you, look, we're going to be saved, we got to keep these laws now. We got to do the communion, we got to do the foot washing, we got to eat the bread off the table. Because when I eat the bread off the table, I know I'm all right with God. And then once I do that, I can do this and I can walk out the door. All right. So we're going to move down further. Now I'm going to show you why. Why did God give them the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment? So are we in Deuteronomy chapter 4? And we're going to look at verse 5 through verse 8. So this is what he said. He said, behold, Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. Behold, I taught you statutes and I've taught you judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do in the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and surely say, this is a great nation, wise and an understanding people. So he said, I gave you those laws. I gave you those statutes. So when you go into the land, the people are going to say, this is a wise people. Because you know what? Remember he told them back? He said, now when you go in there, don't do the doings like they did in Egypt. And when you get in the land, don't do the doings of the people in Canaan. Why? They had their idol gods. They bowed down. But when you go, remember, you are a holy people unto God. So when you go there, you're going to keep my word, because people are going to see your example. Because at the end of the day, God wanted not only just to save Israel, he also wanted to save the Gentiles. So he told them, you got to be that example. That's where the Apostle Paul come. He said, you got to be an example to the believers, because some people are never going to come to church. But when they see your life, they got to see your life. They got to see that you live in the grace life. That you're not living the grace life and then you walk off and you do the world life. Come on, that's why you got to examine yourself, whether you are in the faith. You hear what I'm saying? They were there so the other nations could see. You know what? They're not falling down worshiping gods like we're doing. As a matter of fact, they don't even see their God. But yes, when trouble comes, God is right there for them. He's right there to deliver them. You know, they don't have a big statue. They got to fall down and beat and cut themselves and bleed and do all of that, trying to get your God to speak to you. God said, this is going to be your wisdom. When they see that you keeping my word, you ain't got to worry about your enemies, because I got your back. I got your front, your back, your side. I got all of it. Come on, say, this was to the children of Israel. So he said, you are wise and you are understanding people. So in Job 28:28, he said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So they understood. God given us these laws, the statutes, the ceremonies, but he also gave us the judgments. So if we don't keep it, guess what we got coming? The judgment. So guess what? I'm sticking with it. You know, I thought about that. I said, you know, a lot of time when parents got two or three kids, and they did, because we did it. You get your heat for the seed and you put it right so they can see it. And so you said, you know what? If you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to get that. And you got some kids going to say, I ain't doing nothing because I ain't getting that. You got some say, so what? I'm going to go try. Maybe they won't. I don't know if you had kids like that. But just as sure as you set the law in front of them, sin going to rise up and say, why don't you go and try? They may not do it. They may forget, because you know parents sometimes forget stuff. But you already got it up there. But then you got the ones that say, I ain't getting that. Girl, I'm going to do it. Come on. Come on, go with me. And they're going to try to provoke you. I heard what mom and dad said. But they might forget. You know they old. I ain't going to forget. Okay. Nobody had children like that but me. I ain't gonna say which one of my kids was always gonna try it. I had really good kids. Okay. Then in Deuteronomy 36, 32, and verse 46 and 47, verse 47 said, it's a vain thing for you, because this your life. It's a vain thing for you to ignore God's word, his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his judgment. It's a vain thing, because this is your life. And through this, you will be able to prolong your days upon the earth. Say, that was for Israel. But Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15 said, and from a child, you have known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto the salvation that's through the faith of Christ Jesus. So you had the Old Testament scriptures. They only made you wise until Christ Jesus, so that when Jesus come, you would have faith through him, through believing him for the Jews, through believing on his name, believing who he was, but to the Gentiles, believing what he has done. It makes you wise. So what I'm telling you, remember, God put you where you are to be an example. Even to the believers. There are believers, they said, yes, we love the Lord, we love the word, we believe the gospel, but we still got to do these. If we don't do these, you don't get in trouble. No, if you try to do these, you fall from grace. That's Galatians 5:24. If you try to keep the law, you've already fallen from grace, because you don't have an understanding that it's already done. The law has already been completed, fulfilled. There was only one man that could keep the law, and he kept it because he didn't have Adam's blood. He was the child of the Holy Ghost. That was the promised seed. He was the only one that didn't have no sin. Only... Because remember when they did the offering, they had to get the first one, the young one, you know, and offer it. Well, that's who Christ was. He was without guile. There was no sin found in him. Only his blood could redeem us, could forgive us of all sin. Only his blood could cleanse our mind and our conscience from the dead works. Only his blood could set you free. Not keeping the commandments, because you're not going to be able to keep them. Because guess what? They've already been kept. All right. So let's move on a little bit further. And so the next thing I want to share with you. So the law and the statutes, they educated them. It trained them. It warned them. It corrected them. It disciplined them. It nurtured them. But it also rewarded them. So that was to Israel. So when you look at Psalms 19, verses 9, verse 7 through 11, this is what it said. It said, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The statutes of the Lord are right. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they're righteous altogether. Verse 11 said, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Well, what was a great reward? You would have a long life on the earth. Remember when they came out, Moses was 120, so the children that was under 20 went in, they are already 60 plus. So if they kept the commandment, guess what? They could live longer. That's why they said, oh, if we get to 70, we're doing good. Come on. You're in grace now. You're in the spirit now. All right, so then it says in Galatians 3:19, it says, so wherefore serveth the law? It was at Galatians 3:19. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? Or what was the purpose of the law? It said it was added because of transgressions. It was till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It said the purpose of the law was to add the transgression. That was so that people could see how sinful sin was. But then it said it was designed only to be there until the seed, who was Christ, was to come. But when the law came, it showed men and it made them fully conscious of their sin. Because remember, by the law was the knowledge of sin. If there was no law, wouldn't be no sin. And you know, I thought about that. I said, you know what? You know, most cities got a law because they got the red stop sign and they got the red lights, you know what I'm saying? So if the light is red, you don't just go on that, right? By the fact that you see that stop sign, that means God is protecting me from something. So I need to take heed to it. So when you get to that, you can't just, oh, that's just a red light. How you know somebody else who don't have the stop sign? They got the right of way. So they coming and you ignoring it. Guess what? You can have a crash. So it was there because of transgression. So he put it there because of the transgressions, okay? So then the next thing is said, when they offered up the goats, the bulls, and the priests made an atonement for their sins, one of them was because that was the sin of ignorance. Say the sin of ignorance. They said that they erred. I didn't know that was in the commandment. It was the congregation, and they sinned against it. They sinned the sin of ignorance. And then it's like, okay, we didn't know that that was a sin. So what we got to do? Everybody in the congregation had to take the animal sacrifice to the priest to make atonement for their soul. If it was just one person, he sinned through ignorance. I didn't know that I broke God's law. Guess what? Take your offering so the priest can make atonement for your sin. But guess what? If you just did it presumptuously, you can forget offering. Ain't no offering for you. Because you already did it arrogantly. And so guess what? You die. They're going to stone you and cover you up. So in the Bible, we was looking, it's talking to Pastor Crump, and said, you know when people say, there was a man, all he was doing was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And they stoned him. Why did they? I don't think that was right. They shouldn't have stoned him. And all he did, God had already told, and you got something to do the day before, you're going to cook the day before. Cook the day before. You know you're going to need some firewood. Go get it the day before. But you don't come out and do it on the Sabbath day. Say, this is for Israel. All right. So they weren't supposed to go out and pick up sticks. But when he did, because God said, this is the Sabbath of my rest. The Sabbath day God made for himself. But this man decided, I'm going to go pick me some stick. The people saw it. They came to Moses. They reported it. And Moses said, well, what are we going to do? God said, he has presumptuously, he did it against my will. And so what did they do? They stoned him. So see, the judgment, I mean, if you did it, you was good. But if you didn't, bye-bye. And Pastor showed us on last week, Korah and his son, what they did against Moses was presumptuously. They didn't say, oh, that was an error. We shouldn't have did that. But what was their judgment? The earth opened up and all of them went down. Them, their wives, their children, their cattle, everything that they had went down in the earth and the earth closed up. Boom. So where's Korah and his company? Where's all the ones that went and murmured against the man of God? Well, what happened to them? People point. I ain't saying nothing but. You know what they did? They did it for something. They rose up and they went to the other tribes to try to get them to come in and go against it. They did it, but they ended up. That's what they did. So I wanted to show you something. So when they did the offerings, it was to make man conscious of sin. So even though they took their offerings and their sacrifice to the priest, that was still all of the they still had a remembrance of what they did. But the Bible said only the blood of Christ can purge your conscience from the dead works. The blood of bulls and goat, it washed the flesh. You know, it got you free from the flesh. If you, when you touch something dead or you did something you weren't supposed to do, then you go and you do your sacrifice. It makes your flesh feel good. But it did nothing for the conscience, for the mind, or for the heart. That what you did was still there. But when you believe the gospel of Christ, he came in with his blood and he purged, he cleansed that conscience, that heart from dead works. So there is no more remembrance. So if the remembrance is not there, you're not going to be in bondage to it. Say there was no more remembrance. When they offered their sacrifices, you know what they did? They had to do it. The priest did it continually. The fire was burning all day and all night. Anytime you think, oh, you know, oh, God, I did something wrong. I mistreated my neighbor. I did something. Let me go and go to the priest, get my offering so God could be pleased with me again. But when Christ came, he died, gave his life, shed his blood to cleanse your conscience. There's no more remembrance of what you have done. Come on, say, there's no more remembrance. So then I would say, well, Lord, how did the people remember? Because they had to remember everything that Moses had done. So God had told the people when they was like, oh, this man was just picking up sticks and we had to stone him to death. So then God told Moses, said, what I want you to do, I want you to get a fringe. And that would be in, let me see, that's in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. We're going to do 38 through verse 40. So Numbers 15, 37 through 40. And Moses spake, okay, Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garment. So I went and I got what a fringe looked like. This was a fringe. And he said, this is how you're going to remember the commandments. You're going to take your garment, and on your garment at the end of, of course, theirs was longer. You know, all we done like that, right? They would take this fringe, and every time you see that fringe, you're going to remember all the commandments that Moses taught you. When you see the fringe, this is going to be a fringe unto you. Because how do we remember God's word? We got the Holy Spirit. He brings all things to our remembrance. We don't have to walk around with a fringe. Now we got a fringe just because, wow, that looked good. But they were to take a fringe, put on their garment, and on top of the fringe, they was going to put a blue ribbon. So every time they saw that garment, oh, man, I remember that was the commandment of God. Okay, so you know, I did something. I said, I need to go to the priest, make atonement. This is how they were to remember. Come on, say, that was to Israel. God didn't give us no fringe. He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings all things to our remembrance. But you know what? We're not under the law. We're under grace. All right. Come somebody say amen. So I don't think I read all. So in verse 38 says, speak to the children of Israel and bid them that they make me fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they put the fringes on the board and then you put a ribbon of blue around about it. And verse 39 said, and it shall be to you for a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not your own heart and your own eyes, after which you go a-whoring. Verse 40 said, that you remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto the Lord. So God wanted them to remember there to be holy. Remember I said how we're supposed to be example? Remember, he bought you with a price. So you're supposed to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is Christ, which is God. God made you holy. When he sanctified you, he set you apart. He made you holy. That's what the blood of Christ did. You are a holy people unto the Lord. Remember, say, I am holy unto the Lord. My house is where the Holy Spirit lives. The Holy Spirit don't dwell in unclean places. And guess what? When we begin to walk after the flesh, what do? We grieve the Spirit of Christ. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of Christ. And if you're doing something or if you said something, you got the Holy Spirit, it reminds you, you got to walk in love. You got to walk in peace. You can't walk in evil, tell people off, tell them, you know, hey, I'm just going to take this off and I'm going to let you know. You come and say, you ain't walking in the Spirit. You walking after the flesh.
Thank you for listening to the Door of Faith Ministries podcast. I hope this message was a blessing to you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to find us online at www.mydooroffaith.org. That's www.mydooroffaith.org.